Well, hello there, eco heroes. If you're keen to reduce your impact on the planet and improve your family's health and well-being in the process, but you're just not sure where to start, this episode is for you. I've collated some of my best tips to start or up-level your eco journey. Plus, I've got a fun quiz to share with you that will help you identify how self-sufficient your lifestyle currently is. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Next, if you're keen to reduce your impact on the planet and improve your family's health and well-being in the process, it's likely you've asked these questions of yourself at some stage. But what's the answer? Is it best to start by reducing toxins in your home, planting a garden, reducing plastics, cutting food waste, reducing your power and water consumption, ditching processed foods? Look, there are so many angles to living more sustainably. It's no surprise that so many people find it all a little bit overwhelming. But for those of us who do want to live lighter on the planet and improve the health and well-being of our families as well, where is the best place to start? Well, Julie Andrews hit the mark in The Sound of Music's Do Re Mi. She said, she sang, "We start at the very beginning." And it's a very good place to start. But it's not just any beginning, it's your beginning. Which brings me to step one, which is identifying your starting point. Now, your beginning is exactly that, your starting point. You may actually not be starting at the very beginning like you think you might be. Now, there's likely to be many areas of your lifestyle where you're more sustainable than you give yourself credit for. I actually find that so many women in particular focus on what they're not doing or where they're failing to meet their expectations, which is really detrimental to getting some positive momentum and moving forward. I actually discussed this way back in my very first episode of this podcast. That's right, episode number one, which is "You're More Eco-Friendly Than You Think." You can even go back and have a listen to that because I share a couple of stories of some friends of mine that were beating themselves up, but they were actually not doing as bad as they thought they were doing in the sustainable living stakes. But anyway, I digress. To help you identify where your starting point is, I've put together a fun quiz. And I'll pop the links in the show notes, so all you got to do is click on the banner. But the quiz is housed at selfsufficiencyinthesuburbs.com/quiz. And in this quiz, you'll discover how self-sufficient your lifestyle is. Funny enough, because that's what I've named the quiz. But it's only 10 questions. It's really fun to do. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But have a go, do it. But it will help you to identify your starting point. And once you know this starting point and whether or not you're a green greenie, a self-sufficiency realist, or a self-sufficiency ninja, it makes it much easier to take the next steps, whether that's starting from scratch or up-leveling your green game even further. Alrighty then, the second step in starting your self-sufficiency journey is to reclaim some time. Now, regardless of whether you're just starting your eco journey or you're looking for new challenges to lift your green game, you'll need to find some time to learn new skills and break some old habits. Finding time, that term, is a little bit misleading though, as we all have the same amount of hours in the day and it's not like we can just go out there and find new time. getting organized is really where it's at. And it's actually more about reclaiming time, or more specifically, reclaiming lost time. I actually dedicate the entire first module in Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs to getting organized and freeing up your time for a good reason. And that's because time, or the lack of it, is the number one barrier my students have identified to making more sustainable lifestyle choices. So do you want to know the number one way to reclaim some time? It's simply learning how to say no. Now, I know that saying no doesn't come naturally to so many of us. After all, women and mothers in particular are wired by nature to help others. But I can't stress how important it is that you learn how to say no. Learning to say no is transforming my life. And I'm not there fully, and I'm not sure I'll ever be there fully, but I'm well on my way now, or at least a lot further along than I was just a few short years ago. You see, I've always been the go-to yes girl. You know, need something done? Just ask Laura. I've always prided myself on being useful and helpful, but things eventually got a little bit out of hand. In fact, I only have to backtrack 3 years ago to 2014, and I was running not one, but two online businesses. I was working from home around two preschoolers, running a household, trying to find time to exercise. I was chairing the local town, well, the town I live in, the business forum, and I was also taking care of publicity for the local early learning center. So on top of all this, I hadn't had a full night's sleep in over 2 years or so, since my youngest seemed to think that sleeping was optional. So not only was I on the express train to burnout, I was kind of stressed out and unhappy, and I was racing around trying to please others, many of whom couldn't be pleased anyway. So I started saying no. It was a little bit hard at first, but I've been practicing and it's getting easier. And I'm so glad I did. Actually, right now, I'm not on any committees and all those organizations are surviving just fine without me. I sold one of my online businesses and I kind of kept the one that really filled me up and which I wanted to keep growing. But by me saying no, my husband Paul, who's a go-to yes kind of guy, and he works full-time, and even up until last year, he was president of the local cricket association, he played cricket, he umpired football, and he was on umpteen committees as well. But once I started to say no, he felt empowered to start saying no more too. Of course, he's still playing cricket and he's taken up squash just recently, so I guess he started saying yes to a couple of things. But he has said no to all the things that he didn't want to do anymore. That was just filling up the agenda. And you know what? Then something happened. We actually started veggie gardening again. And I know I've been sharing a lot about veggie gardening in the last year or so, but there was quite a big patch there where we didn't garden. Paul and I started our first organic vegetable garden way back in 2005, so over 12 years ago. But in recent years, it had slipped off during a crazy busy patch. But learning to say no allowed us to find some time to garden again. And we didn't need to find heaps of time to garden again. We really just needed to clear up a couple of weekends a year when we do most of the planning, preparing the soil and the planting. And I guess just once a day we'll go out and pick stuff and might fix up some irrigation or whatever. But basically we cleared up that time and we got back into the garden. And we've been feeling so much happier and more fulfilled since we've done that. And we're finding it a bit easier to entice the kids away from their screens a little bit more, get them back outside, getting them involved in growing some of their own food so they're learning where food comes from, which is really important to both of us. So you see, saying no stopped me doing the things that were making me tired and miserable, but it also freed up some time for Paul and I to do some things that we really enjoy. And these things align with our values and they fulfill us as well. So it's a bit of a no-brainer when you look at it like that, isn't it? Now, I uncover a heap of tips and tricks to reclaim your time in the first module of Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs. But for now, I just want you to focus on saying no to just one thing this week that you would have automatically said yes to. And instead, put that time towards taking the first or the next step in your eco journey. Okay, so we're up to point number 3, which is to take the first or next step. So now that you've actually reclaimed some time, let's put it to better use by a step in your journey towards self-sufficiency. Now, while completing the self-sufficiency quiz, it would have become clear to you what areas you were excelling at and where you could improve. Well, it's time now to hone in on those areas where you could improve and decide what change you'll make next. So for the purpose of an example, let's hone in on the kitchen. Now, the kitchen is the heart of every home, but in some households, it's about to have a cardiac arrest due to the amount of waste it has to contend with. Given we eat multiple times a day, there's multiple opportunities a day to make decisions that not only reduce the waste produced by a household, they reduce the resources consumed by a household. So think resources that are used to produce, package, and transport food and drink products to your home. Now, there's literally thousands of small actions you can take to get your eco kitchen started or take it to the next level, but I'm just going to touch on a few here. So one you could do is when you're shopping, just simply look at the origin of the food products that you're buying. Make a conscious effort to buy the product with the lower food miles. So if you live in Australia and you always reach for the Italian tinned tomatoes, just next time buy the Australian grown ones. Even hang out to when they're on special and stock up then, because I know that they are a little bit more expensive than the Italian ones. Another thing you could do is make one extra meal at home this week instead of buying takeaway. And while you're there, double the recipe and pop some meals in your freezer for another evening when you just don't feel like cooking. Now, I don't spend considerably more time cooking than the average mum. I just try and be smarter about it and cook in batches. Another change you can easily make is just switching one meat-based meal this week, and every week for that point, for a plant-based one. And another action you can do is just choose one packet food that you regularly buy and learn how to make it from scratch. Now, this could include making your own liquid stock rather than buying a powder full of preservatives. You could learn how to make gravy, or you can peel and cut up potatoes, toss them in olive oil and salt, and bake them in the oven for 20 minutes at 180 degrees Celsius instead of emptying half a packet of frozen chips into the oven. They actually take roughly the same amount of time to cook. Or it could include buying your bread from the local baker rather than the supermarket bagged bread that's travelled halfway across the country, or even having a go at baking your own bread. It's not as hard as it sounds, especially if you're like half of the households in Australia now and you've got a Thermomix. Once you've taken a few steps to eco-fy your kitchen, you could then move on to other areas of your household like your garden, because we all know homegrown veggies are the bomb. You could focus in on reducing your household's waste. You could lower your household's use of chemicals. Take steps to make your home more energy and water efficient. Break up with a heap of plastics. Or even introduce some productive pets like chickens or a worm farm into the mix. So, starting or up-leveling your journey towards self-sufficiency is really as easy as 1, 2, 3. By identifying your starting point, reclaiming some time, and actively taking the first or the next step, you'll be well on your way to living an eco-ceptional life your great-grandmother would be proud of. And you know what? You'll be doing your best to help make green mainstream. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Eco-Fy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.